Hey, I got a little video pertinent to Brother Matthew and Miss Katie Bell Bushy, and it was a little quick video with a blue plume of smoke or powder or something shot out of the end of something. So I think that means a boy is coming to the Bushy household. So congratulations to them, and I'm excited about that. Take your Bibles, go back with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 13. Amen. Lee, good to see you and your bride back. Amen. And God's done some wonderful things for them, and I'm rejoicing, and it's so wonderful. God is so gracious. Amen. So good. And you all are encouraging me. I want you to know that. Amen. Proverbs in chapter number 13, and we left off at verse number 6 on last Wednesday. We're going to jump back in at verse number 7, and I hope you'll just maybe make a note or two along the way. But get your Bible and bring it with you, and let's soak it up. We all need wisdom, don't we? All of us need wisdom. Isn't it something? We can make a mess out of things in a hurry, can't we? I tell you what, you know, one bad decision can really complicate your life. And we ought to take heed to the wisdom that God offers us in this wonderful, wonderful book. This is a good book for all of us, particularly the young man's book, and compiled by Solomon for his son Rehoboam. And so let's get some of this wisdom tonight. Father, we love you. We need you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me communicate thy truth to the hearts of your people tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 7, the Bible says, there he is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Now think about that. There is that maketh himself rich. So here's a guy, he don't have two nickels rubbed together. But boy, he carries himself like he's a millionaire. And then here's a guy that he has great riches, but he behaves as though he doesn't have anything. Here's a simple statement. A lot of statements we could give that probably would do a good job of summarizing this verse, but here's something I want to bring to light. Things are not always as they seem. Things are not always as they seem. You know, we all do it, and we judge by appearances, and appearances are not unimportant. The Bible said, be careful, abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. So appearances do matter. Sometimes we say, well, it don't matter what you look like. And then, no, it does matter. It does. God's clear about that. Now, the outside's not more important than the inside. But here's a little lesson for us is that, you know, things are not always as they seem. They're not. I never met Jack DeCoster personally, but I've talked to many people who knew him and I've been blessed by his generosity in my life. Not directly, but indirectly. I've been blessed by his all of you here have been blessed by Jack DeCoster's generosity, even if you don't know who he is. But for those that know him and those that I've talked to that know him, would tell you that if you met Jack DeCoster, the last thing in the world you'd think is that you were talking to an extremely wealthy man who's given millions and multiplied millions and millions of dollars to the Lord's work. But he's just as regular. He's a farmer, just as regular a guy. Now he, you know, he's a multi-millionaire farmer. And everybody here is probably eating his eggs. But you don't know. He doesn't carry himself like he's somebody, like he's a big wig. You know, can I say this, that this world has a unhealthy distraction with appearances. It is exhausting to keep up appearances. It's just exhausting. You'd be better off. You say, well, I'm afraid I won't have any friends if I tell them the truth about myself. Look, if you got to make up stuff to have a friend, you don't have a friend. You don't have a friend. Friend loveth at all times. Amen. And there's just something wonderful and beautiful about being a genuine. If you're poor by the world, there's a little lesson from this. If you're poor by the world's standards, there's no shame in that. There's no shame in being poor. You can be poor and carry yourself well. Carry yourself like a king. Amen? There's dignity in work. There's dignity in character. There's dignity in being honest. And whether or not you, that means you have a big fat bank account or not, you can still carry yourself like somebody, because you're, how many of you are saved tonight? Say amen. You're a child of the king. You're somebody. Amen. Your dad's, your father's somebody for sure. Amen. And, the King of Kings as in my family. And so, God's people, let me say this. God's people should not poor mouth. God's people should not poor mouth. Each generation in this country that's enjoyed the freedom that we've enjoyed has become increasingly more prosperous. More and more so. I haven't done it in a while, but I've done it several times over the years. And I asked a question at Thanksgiving, a time or two we did something like this at Thanksgiving. We take polls, we ask folks in the church, older folks and then younger folks, you know. And when did you get your first new pair of shoes? When did you get your first bicycle or your first new car or first new piece of furniture? Or, you know, when you was a kid, what was your favorite food, you know? And maybe biscuits and gravy or something. But, you know, you ask a six-year-old, what's your favorite food? Cocktail shrimp is my favorite food, you know, or filet mignon or something like that, you know. And a lot of folks didn't have a steak till they was married or something. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that's wrong. I thank God for the prosperity that we enjoy. But can I tell you something? If your handbag costs $11 or $1,100, it doesn't do anything for you as a person. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. Now, if God gives you $1,100 handbag, that's wonderful, and you carry it. But don't stick your nose higher in the air because you got $1,100 purse instead of $11 purse. Amen. And here the problem is, we want to appear to be somebody. And the Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches. And one of the lies that money tells us is that money will get me respect. No, that's not true. No. Money won't buy you respect. It certainly won't buy you character. Anyone with no money at all can build a good name. And a good name is priceless. Amen? It's priceless. Howard Hughes was worth $2.5 billion when he died in 1977. Think about what that'd be worth today. He built an airplane, started Trans World Airlines, but before he died, he became suspicious. He became paranoid of infections. But most of his latter years were spent in hotels. He would rent an entire floor on a hotel, black all the windows out. Lived the life of a wreck. He's a billionaire. He's scared to death of germs. In his last years, he lived in his pajamas and ate a diet of fudge. He lived into his 90s, but he suffered from malnutrition. That's not a real healthy diet, is it? But what a sad thing. Become paranoid. I mean, it was wealthy. And now, you contrast that with William Borden, who gave his fortune away, or C.T. Studd, who gave his fortune away. C.T. Studd went to the mission field, gave his life on the mission field, and he said this, "Some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." Amen. Now, I don't know where Mr. Hughes spends eternity. I don't know. If he wasn't saved, he's in hell. If he was saved, he's in heaven. And I hope he was saved. I don't know. C.T. Studd had a clear testimony. And not only is he in heaven, he's took a lot of people to heaven with him. Amen? There's something more to life than just getting money in your pocket. Look at verse number 8. "The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke." As we read these, I hope you'll think along with me, what does this verse say to me? What does this verse mean? The ransom of a man's life are his riches. Okay, ransom. Let's stop for just a minute. What is a ransom? Somebody gets kidnapped and they leave a ransom note. They say, "I'll give you." Let's see, Brother Kevin $17 we'll give him back to you. Amen. So whatever that ransom is, that's the value, right? That's the value they put on his life. The Bible said the ransom of a man's life are his riches. But the poor heareth not rebuke. Let me make this statement. You could jot this down if you're doing so. Wealth has advantages and disadvantages. Wealth has advantages and disadvantages. You know, and two of them are named in this verse, I believe. If you get in a bad spot, if you're wealthy and you get in a bad spot, many times you can buy your way out of it. You can buy your way out of it. If a wealthy man gets kidnapped, for example, well, his wealth would allow his life to be, the ransom to be paid and his life to be spared. But if you're poor, you probably won't get kidnapped. I mean, ain't nobody going to kidnap you. You can't put up no ransom. So wealth has advantages and disadvantages. Do you know one of the advantages of wealth is you can bless others. You can be a blessing. One of the disadvantages of wealth is it's really hard to tell who your true friends are. The Bible says every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Everybody wants to be buddy to the guy that's got deep pockets and is generous. And Brother Howes used to talk about his Uncle Harvey. Of course, his dad walked out when he was five. His dad lost the business in the Depression, and he turned to alcohol and became a drunkard and walked out when he was only 5 years old. And so his mom lived hand to mouth and trying to take care of the kids by herself. But she had a brother, and the brother was quite wealthy. And who knows how many times he helped keep them afloat. But he became very close to his uncle. His uncle was in the Southern Baptist Convention and a very influential man in the Southern Baptist Convention. And when it came time for him to go off to college, he said, I want you to go over here to this liberal seminary. And he said, Uncle, I can't do that. He said, listen, I'll pay for it. And he said, I'll give you 25% interest in my business, which would have been over $2 million in today's money, about $250,000 at the time. He said, I'll give you a certain percentage interest in my business. I'll pay for your schooling. Just do this. He said, I can't go to a liberal university. I believe the Bible is the word of God. I don't believe in evolution. I can't do that. And as much as he loved his uncle, he turned that down. Turned it down. There's not a lot of 18, 19-year-olds turn down $2.5 million. And by the way, a young man that you, everybody, all young people, you're going to have to pass the money test. If you live for money, you're going to live a disappointed life. You're going to live a disappointed life. But his uncle was very wealthy, and he went to his uncle one day, and he said, Uncle Harvey, he said, I've heard you say it's hard for me to tell who my friends are. He said, you know what? I want to ask you to do something for me. He said, what's that? Jack, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want you to know for sure that you have at least one true friend in the world. And he said, well, how am I going to do that? He said, promise me you take me out of your will. He said, you want me to do what? He said, I don't know if I'm in your will or not, but if I'm in your will, take me out of it. Don't put me in your will. I probably heard him tell this story 20 times. He said, you know what that rascal did? He took me out of his will. That's very interesting, though, isn't it? His desire for his uncle to have one friend, one person he knew as his true friend, that didn't want to be around him because he had money. I'd like to think I could be a friend like that. Wealth has advantages and disadvantages. Talking about getting kidnapped. When Biz and Erica LaRice, Erica's from, I think she's Alabama or something like that. Anyway, Biz is from Haiti, and he came over. We got saved, and anyway, he came here. We were in college together, and they went back to Haiti. And Erica, just a princess of a lady, wonderful lady, and went over there. And he told her, he said, "Now you listen to me. If I ever get arrested, do not Don't visit me. Don't try to get me out. He said, don't you do it. She said, well, what am I supposed to do? He said, you just treat me like I don't exist. He said, they want one thing. They're going to want money. They're going to want money. And sure enough, I don't know, it's maybe a year or two or something like that. Wouldn't that belong into their work there in Haiti? He got arrested. He was in jail. They came to the house and demanded a ransom. And that little lady, she said, he can rot in there for all I care. They said, you won't say, I don't care, stay in there. He don't treat me well anyway. And here she gets, she closed the door and she fall on her face weeping and crying. They come back, bang on the door. She said, I don't care nobody. Leave me alone. He can stay in there as long as he wants to. They finally, a few months later, laid him out. He couldn't get no money out of it. Now, there's advantages and disadvantages of wealth. Amen? Listen, if just thank God for what we ought to thank God for what we've got. Amen? How many had something to eat today? You had something to eat? Or if you didn't, you had some food available? Amen? How many of you plan on eating tomorrow? All right. How many of you are already thinking about what you're going to eat when you get home from church tonight? Okay. All right. So we're blessed. Amen? And we all thank the Lord for it. Richest man that ever lived said this in Proverbs 30, verse 8. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. The richest man that ever lived, Solomon, he said, you know what? He said, if I had my choice, I wouldn't be poor. I wouldn't be rich. He said, I'd have just enough. That's a man who had everything. Now, here's a spiritual application for this verse. The ransom of a man's life. The value of a man's life. Ransom is what they would, the value they put on a man's life. The Bible said the ransom of a man's life, the value of a man's life are his riches. Here's a spiritual application. Whatever you invest your life in is what you'll be worth. Whatever you invest your life in, that's what you're worth. There's only two things that last forever. It's this book right here I hold in my hand and the souls of men. Amen? It's the Word of God and the souls of men. Now, you really, really want to have a life of value in eternity, you invest, you take this book and you invest in the souls of men. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse number 9. The Bible says, the light of the righteous rejoiceth. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. Do you ever see somebody just like almost like their face shone? It's just a pure person. You know what I'm talking about? Just an innocent person, a good, moral, clean, straightforward person. It's just something exudes from their life, right? From their face, from their life. But then it says, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. The righteous, that's the fellow that does the right thing. So let me give you a statement. Honesty and integrity is refreshing. Honesty and integrity is refreshing. A person will just do the right thing. It just seems so hard to find somebody who'll just do the right thing, you know? And the Bible calls that a light. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. All right. So the power goes out, right? The power goes out. And you're like, oh, everything. It flashes at the time of the day. And the oven and the microwave goes beep, and it's done, and the heat and air system goes and it's dark, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I got to be at Sunday school in an hour and 15 minutes, and I didn't even curl my hair yet, or whatever's next is coming up in your and so then you're feeling around, right, and then you get a candle or two, or you get a flashlight, and the batteries don't work in the flashlight. And it starts getting cold in the house, or starts getting hot in the house, or whatever. And you're waiting, you know, when's it going to come back on? And then you remember when you've been waiting and waiting, and then suddenly the lights come back on, and you go, ah, the lights are on. And it's refreshing. That's what a righteous person is like. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. Righteousness brightens the world. Wickedness darkens the world. Can I tell you something? Integrity and honesty and righteous living is being devalued in this age. Again, image is all the rage. Image is all the rage. It's so refreshing to find somebody who will just simply do the right thing. Let me tell you something. If you've got a guy that'll fix your car and he's honest, be nice to him. Hang on to that guy, right? Miss Carol took my father-in-law was still living. Papa was still living. He changed the shocks on the car. And so she was going up to get the tires rotated. Said, go up here to this place and get the tires rotated. And so they went in and rotated the tires, and the guy come out and shaking his head. Said, ma'am, he said, we rotate your tires, but I hate to tell you this, your shocks are gone. They are ruined. She said, that's funny. My husband just changed them 2 weeks ago. He said, Now, it's sad. We're laughing because it's true, isn't it? It happens far too often. This, if you find an honest contractor, an honest plumber, an honest whoever, you hang on to them. Amen? That person rejoices the heart. Amen? It's always refreshing to meet an honest person. Verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. That's contention is conflict, strife. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. With the well advised is wisdom. Here's a statement for you. We could say this a lot of different ways. Where tensions rise, pride must be confessed. Where tensions rise, pride must be confessed. Where tensions rise, pride must be confessed. Human nature is this. We want people to think better of us than we really are. That's human nature. I'm so upset. Did you hear what he did? What are you upset about? Did you hear they said this about me, and or he, she said this about me, and I can't believe they would do that. And I didn't want anybody to know that. You know, and we have a hard time sometimes when people tell the truth about us. Now, I know sometimes people lie about us, but how much worse would it be if they told the truth about us? That God knows about us, right? You know, we all like flattering pictures, don't we? Oh, I look so awful in that picture. Do you remember that? Do you remember those glamour shots? How many remember those glamour shots? You know what glamour shots are? Well, when I go into houses a lot of times, I love to try to get to know family. This is almost as bad as, oh, when's your baby due? I'm not pregnant. Almost that bad. Don't ever do what I'm getting ready to tell you. But I like to go in and start looking at pictures. You know, you say, oh, who's this? Who's that? And who's that? That's me. Oh, that's a nice picture. Seriously? Glamour shot, you know. But we all want people to think better of us than we really are. It's human nature, isn't it? It's human nature. Now listen, an inflated view of ourselves will leave us quarreling our whole life. An inflated view of ourselves will leave us bickering our whole life. Look, I hope you're not known as a person that creates conflict. That's not good. The Bible said, blessed are the rabble rousers. No, it said, blessed are the what? Peacemakers, right? Yeah. If you struggle to get along with people, if you have conflict regularly with people, some people can't go to the grocery store having conflict. They can't drive down the street without having conflict. They can barely go to the mailbox without having conflict. Kick the dog on the way or something. Look, if you're mad at the postman, and you're mad at the clerk, and you're mad at the grocery store guy, and you're mad at the oil change guy, and you're mad at your spouse, and you're mad at your kids, and you're mad at your boss, and the whole world treats you unfair, you know, probably it's not the whole world. It might be you. Just maybe. Only by pride. That's all inclusive, isn't it? With the well-advised is wisdom, the Bible said. Now, this is interesting thought. So you've got, on one hand, you've got the guy that's always in a fuss with everybody and proud, always in a fight, always somebody's doing him wrong, always something's not fair, always something's not right. That guy, now the next half of the verse said, with the well-advised is wisdom. Let me tell you something about the guy in the first half of the verse. He can't take advice. The well-advised has wisdom. Here's a question for all of us. Could you and I handle somebody absolutely telling us absolutely the truth? I'm talking about the truth everybody's scared to death to tell you. Could we handle that? Could we take that? If somebody came and said, and I'm not suggesting that we ought to go around doing this, so we won't have a church split. We'll have it split about 500 different ways. I'm not suggesting that you go do that, but I'm just saying, what about myself? Could I handle that? Could I take that? With the well-advised is wisdom. If somebody just said, let me just be brutally honest about your attitude. Let me be brutally honest about your tongue, about your kids, about your family, about your work performance. You know, a lot of us would really struggle now, wouldn't we? Being humble, that's a hard thing, isn't it? What are we? The psalmist said this. He said, you know what? He remembers that we are dust. Amen. We are made out of dirt. Amen. And we need to remember that. Verse number 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Wealth gotten by vanity, by emptiness, foolishness, shall be diminished. Now, you can do something foolish to get wealthy, but that wealth will be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So here's a statement. There's a right way and a wrong way to get wealth. There's a right way and a wrong way to get wealth. Now, wealth gotten quickly usually disappears quickly. If it comes in too easily, it goes out just the same. But if it's done the old-fashioned way, that four-letter word, W-O-R-K, right? Four-letter word. I love that message, From Debt to Dignity. And the preacher says, talk about kids cursing and swearing. He said, I learned some four-letter words when I was growing up, work and iron and things like that. That's some good four-letter words, amen? And work is one of them, amen? And he that gathereth by labor, by work, shall increase. Hey, young people, listen to me. Everybody listen to me. We're God's people, and God made us to work and be productive. And 6 days shalt thou labor, and the seventh is a day of rest. That's still a biblical principle, amen? It's still a biblical principle. Don't get caught up in a scheme. Any get rich quick idea, scheme, you may get rich, but you're going to get poor just as quickly. Gambling. Our state legislature is defeated the gambling bill that keeps coming, and it's up again. They just put it out there again. Just went through a committee. Online gambling, sports gambling. How many children suffer, families suffer, homes are destroyed because somebody wants to get something for nothing? Now, honest people work hard for what they have. And if you, the Bible says here, if you do, it's like a 220 million, one in 200 and something million chance you win the lottery. And if you do win the lottery, it's the worst thing ever happened to you. Gambling, poker cards. You do what you want to do. I've never had a pack of playing cards in my house. I'm not going to have a pack of playing cards. You say, what? You tempted to gamble? I'm not tempted to gamble, but I don't want anything to do with it. Amen, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brother Hampson. Horse betting, sports gambling, lottery, games of chance, selling dope. One of the best men in this church. Member of our church. Got saved through our church. Got baptized through our church. Beautiful little family. Got out of the world. Got out of a bad life. Changed, his whole life changed. Precious, beautiful little children. And he got in a tight spot. Got in a tight spot financially. He said, you know, I can do it one more time. I can get myself out of this and I'll stay straight. And he one more time. Made a phone call. All I'm going to do is carry something. I don't even know what it is. Just put it in the car. I'll carry it from point A to point B. And he got caught. And he went to jail. When he got out of jail, he got deported. And his beautiful little family fell apart. They sit right up here in this balcony, right here. Prettiest little children. And after he went to jail, they stayed for a little while. But she got lonely. And when he got deported, and that was the end of the family. Let me tell you something. You will never get ahead by doing something illegitimate to put money in your pocket. You will never get ahead. You might get your wad of cash in a hurry. But you'll not get ahead. In my deep study of the Word of God today, I Googled percentage of lottery winners that go broke. These are the first three things that popped up. News 4, Jacksonville. According to the National Endowment for Financial Education, 70% of people who win the lottery are bankrupt within a few years. First thing, 7 out of 10 are bankrupt. And you want to win the lottery? Seriously? Now, why is that? I'll tell you why. Because this verse right here, this verse says it. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. It's a spiritual law. You can jump off a house and try to defy the physical law of gravity and you'll break your neck. And you can try to defy God's spiritual law and get something in a hurry for nothing and it will break you. You won't break it, it'll break you. Here's the second one. Moneymarshmallow.com, whatever that is. This is pretty good. This is the second thing. Brother Google gave this to me this afternoon in my study. Question, why is it so common that lotto winners go broke? Answer, spending is an easy trap to fall into after receiving a big cash windfall. I'm going to meddle here for a minute. Now, I'm not against you. I praise God if you get a windfall. For however you get it, and you get it, God bless you for it. But if getting a windfall of money makes you less faithful to church, you'd been better off without it. You'll be in the house of God if you're a Christian. Amen? And I've seen it too many times. The fella not long ago won the largest Powerball ever. It's $2.04 billion with a B. And he said, wow, that's a lot of money. He's a billionaire. No, he wasn't a billionaire. What he took home was less than $1 billion. Now, 999 something another million dollars, you know. But by the time you get that, you say, well, I'm going to win $1 million. I'm going to give half of it to the church. No, you're not, because the government's going to take more than half of it. If you give half to the church, you'll be owing somebody. All right, anyway. Did I tell you this? Did I tell you about the warranty? Have I told that in these lessons? I had a brother that got a car warranty. And how many of you get phone calls and you get a car warranty? You get those phone calls? And anyway, he researched and looked up and had got a vehicle, wanted a car warranty, and he got a car warranty, and so and paid on it for several years, and then he needed it, and so he went to cash it in on his warranty, and come to find out it was a fraud, and this place was they were working out of New Jersey, but the good news is that the state of New Jersey sued the people who defrauded everyone, and kept 80% for their fees. And so, anyway, true story. There's no substitute for hard work. What you earn by the sweat of your own brow, you value, you appreciate, you take care of it, and that's why it increases. Maybe immoral is not the right word, but maybe it is the right word. It is immoral to give a 21-year-old a multi-million-dollar contract because he can bounce a basketball and put it in a little hoop. How many young men have been ruined by money? Somebody gave them a big contract so they could make money off of them. We're upside down and backwards in our society. Now, here's the problem. Why is it? I don't have it in front of me, but I've read the statistics of NBA players and NFL players who, within a few short months of being out, are bankrupt themselves. Large percentage. Why? Because their character did not grow commensurate with their wealth. Through hard work, listen to me, you say it's a long, hard way, yes, but the thing about it is when you work hard, it builds character. That's why when you do it the old-fashioned way, by the sweat of your brow, your wealth increases. Why? Because your character increases as you work hard. When you work hard, you have more character than you have the character to do, to hold on to what you have. You appreciate what you have. Mom and Dad, listen. I know we have more than ever before, generations before us, but you know what? Kids ought to learn still to work and earn things. They ought to. Russell Anderson, like Jack DeCoster, I've just been around him several times, but not a great deal. But I was sitting in an airport next to him. And he said, look at this. And he showed me a check for $7 million that he wrote to some ministry. I don't know how much he's given away over his lifetime. I know one year he gave $21 million to the Lord's work. But eighth grade education, coal miner from Kentucky, eighth grade education. But he gets up at 4 o'clock every morning, prays, studies his Bible, asks God for wisdom for his business. I think God's giving it to him. What do you think? But you know what? He talked to a group of us men somewhere. He said, you know what, my kids work in the business with me. He said, you know what they make? Same thing everybody else in the office makes. He paid his own children the same hourly wage he paid everybody else. He said, I have fired my brother twice. Amen. Number 12. Look at verse number 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred, that's put off. You put your hope in something and it keeps getting delayed and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. When the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Here's a thought. Disappointment has made many a broken heart. Disappointment has made many a broken heart. I remember my pastor talking about being a little boy and dad promising to come home and I'm going to buy you a cheeseburger and sitting out on the steps waiting for dad to come, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7, 8, 9, 10, and finally at close to midnight, son, you got to come in. But dad's coming to buy me a hamburger. Dad never came. There's a lot of heartbroken children in the world whose parents did not keep their word. I'm not trying to correct anything. I'm trying to warn. Mamas and daddies ought to keep their word. Amen? Those brokenhearted children often become untrusting adults who struggle with the same. I remember standing over there in the foyer at the old auditorium years ago. Little guy, won't call his name. Little 9-year-old boy. He came up to me, he said, "Preacher, I'm going to the zoo with my daddy tomorrow." I said, "That's great. Y'all do that often?" He said, "No, I'm just going to meet him tomorrow." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Have you ever met your dad before?" "Huh." 9-year-old kid. Never met his dad. Dad's taking me. I don't know if he did. I hope dad came and took him to the zoo. Now, folks, you put your hope in man and we'll be disappointed. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He's unchanging. Amen. He never disappoints. He's 100% reliable. Amen. Humans are frail. We're all made out of the same stuff. And before you justify a bitter life and mad at the world because somebody disappointed you, you just go ahead and mark it down. You're going to do the same. If you haven't already, you're going to disappoint others. The best thing for all of us to do, love each other, believe in each other, take our broken hearts at times to the Lord Jesus Christ and put our hope in Him. Amen. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Amen. Keep your mind and heart on Him. He'll never, ever disappoint you. One more. Let's look at verse number 13. "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Here it is. A lack of respect for God's word never ends well. A lack of respect for God's word never ends well. A lack of respect for God's word never ends well. I appreciate you young people come to Sunday school, come to church, sit up and listen to your teacher. I love everybody in this room, but some of you have listened to me very little tonight. You've had a big grand time, but you haven't listened to much of what I've said. I'm not trying to be unkind, but it's not going to go well for you unless that changes. It's not going to. You cannot be that cavalier about the teaching of the Word of God and it go well for you. The Bible talks about those who tremble at the Word of God. We ought to stand in awe when somebody stands up with this book right here and teaches us some things that could help us for the rest of our lives. The book said so. "Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed." God created us and God knows us and God loves us. Why wouldn't we want to listen to His instructions? Amen. He knows us inside out. This book is like me. It's a roadmap for life. It's like a manual of a car. Amen. Pull that thing out. Figure out how that thing works. How to take care of it. Follow the instructions. And it'll last longer. Amen. Disregard the instructions. That little red light comes on and says you need an oil change. Does that red light keep bothering me? And you get a piece of tape, put it over so you don't have to look at it. Guess what? Yeah, the car will probably still run a while, but it won't run as well, and it'll probably die sooner, right? We ought to fear God and fear His Word and trust His Word and live by His Word. Amen. An old man pulled up. It was a Model T Ford. Broke down on the side of the road. An old man pulled up. That's a true story. Old man pulled up behind it, and the fellas over there trying to tinker with the car. And the old man pulled up behind him. He walked up where the man was trying to tinker with his broken down car. He said, "Sir, can I help you?" He said, "Old man, what do you know about cars?" And Henry Ford walked back and got in his vehicle and drove down the road. True story. This book right here will help us. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we?